took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening or good morning. You know, I never know because we play at both 5:30 a.m. and p.m., Barry.
And for those who are looking at on demand or checking us out there, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That's right. Exactly.
Have a good lunch.
However you're listening to us, we're thanking you for picking up Glorious Day.
Amen.
With Pastor David and Pastor Barry.
Mm-hmm.
We've been continuing. This is the third of three programs having to do with the body of Christ, the Good Shepherd, the work of Christ as the shepherd.
That's right.
In the world, bringing in the lost. And the theme for tonight is the body of Christ, bread, water, and light. Now, where am I getting that? Well, if you go to the Gospel of John, particularly, Jesus has several of what we call the I am sayings. And it says, I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am
the light of the
world. Light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I am this. Several. And what he's doing is because the phrase I am in the Old Testament is how God spoke of himself mm-hmm. to those who were listening. So Jesus, which is kind of what upset the people, and he upset several people for several reasons, but one of them is he was claiming to be God. Now, we know he is God. They didn't.
No, but they thought it was blasphemy.
It was, yeah, oh, which yeah. is a pretty serious crime for them back there. It's a rock-throwing crime, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to make it.
Oh, no, it's like death sentence, capital crime.
Mm-hmm.
But and undoubtedly, at the end, he paid that price and then was resurrected, which is what God intended all along. But point is tonight, the three characteristics of Jesus, because, again, we're in the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. We're parts of the body, different mm-hmm. parts based on our gifts. But we're all part of that body that Jesus is using to go out into the world and to reveal himself through us as the Good Shepherd and to bring that compassion, that mercy, that love, that caring that brings people to Christ because he reveals himself through us in a powerful way, so much so that even behind the shields they've put up in front of them, you know, I don't think Scotty was involved in any of those. Shields up, but, you know, the point being is we put them up. Shields up, Scotty, because I'm afraid, you know, of all that. But there's Jesus penetrating through the shields with his love. And when we finally feel that for the first time, we want it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's often because Jesus is using us, you and me, Barry, and all those other believers in the enfleshed shepherds, in the power of the Spirit representing Jesus. And so today the church needs to know that because in these days God is moving to, again, we keep talking about this big revival. Well, it's coming.
It is
coming. See
pieces
of it now, a little more here and there. If you're looking around, you'll see it. But it's coming and it's going to be huge, the biggest revival ever in human history.
You know, David, it's happening every day. And I got to tell you real quick, I was at Sam's Club. A little plug for Sam's Club, but we were out at Sam's Club renewing our membership, and the lady behind the counter was just beaming and spilling over with the Holy Spirit. You could feel it, you could sense it, the smile.
Yeah.
And I said, you're a sister in the Christian church. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're saved.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, yeah, baby. And so we start talking about God and Christ and salvation and this great plan, and another one walks up. She was going to renew her membership, but she just put that down, and we were all just filled with the Holy Spirit talking about the wonders of Christ. And next thing you know, we were having five people standing at the counter, forming a big line, by the way, and we were praising God and having church.
Wow, isn't that cool?
It was cool, and you know, just a few years ago, I couldn't even imagine that happening.
Yeah,
but you're right, David. It's happening now.
In some
of the strangest places, but, you know, it's happening.
Well, you know, ultimately, a revival of this kind is going to have to pop up in what we call the strangest places.
Sure.
Where we never would have expected it before.
That's right.
So, I mean, could it then be that on the floor of the Senate or the House, there might be that. Yeah.
That could happen.
Could happen. There are believers up there. We don't know who they are entirely, but...
All things are possible.
All things are possible. I have this in my bedroom next to my prayer chair, which is... It's kind of behind my bookshelf there in the corner near the French doors. And some years ago at a craft show, we found a dish towel that had embroidered on it, "All things are possible with God." Well, I had to have that. And so I have it hanging there. And, you know, it's always there to look at. And I know this is true, but when I glance at that, you know, it's an extra special affirmation that all things are possible with God. So I believe firmly. You listener, think for a minute. Where's the least expected place where God would pop up that you think?
That's right.
And God's going to pop up there. And so we have some scripture we want to share with you. And Barry, I was just going to, because again, we're saying, you know, Jesus talks about being bread, water, and light. So let's read those scriptures.
Let's do it. I'll take the bread. Why don't you take the water, and then I'll take the light.
Oh, sounds good to me.
All right. Okay. This is John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst."
And then from John 7, verse 37 and 38, and they were at a feast. And on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
And then in John chapter 8, verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Amen.
Wow.
And of all these I am sayings, and you can go to John, if you have a online concordance, like if you use Bible Gateway, you just type in "I am," and then go to all the Gospels, and you'll see mostly in John where you find these "I am" statements. But the three that we're picking out tonight to talk about, because again, focusing on the shepherding, the Good Shepherd Jesus, and how He works through us.
That's right.
There are three things that are critical for life. Now, the last one is the one I'll start with. That the light. Life needs light. You know, if you have no light, there's some things that exist in darkness. We know that.
With no light, there's no food. There's no way of getting around.
There's no way. But even like things that live in darkness, like dark caves, there has to be light somewhere to provide some kind of, you know, the sustenance that they do get. You know, now somebody will call me a zoologist or a botanist.
There's a lizard that doesn't eat any light.
Right, yeah, there's a blind salamander somewhere that, you know, I don't know, probably. But the point is that light contributes to the, not just life, but the quality of it. So, and we all need, you know, how important light is to us. You know, I mean, I've got flashlights, you know, and a really important when the lights go out. If you've lived in Florida, during a hurricane and the lights go out, you know what I'm talking about. It's frightening. And especially because when the lights go out the first time, you didn't have a flashlight nearby. You had no source of artificial light, you know. And by the time you found two sticks to rub together, the FPL would have put the power back on. But the point is, that light is very important for life. And then from that, I mean, the symbols of bread and water. You know, bread, the bread of life.
Right.
Jesus, the bread of life. Back in that day, especially, staple was bread. They had all kinds of breads. Every culture you go to has a bread they're famous for. And, I mean, when you think of most of the cultures that I've eaten from, you know, been around, you know, the breads are the something you always want to try, you know. And and then water, of course. Here's the thing. We can't go, I don't know, what is it, 3 days without water?
Right, 3 days.
The human body.
Everything shuts down, the kidneys shut down.
Yeah.
You will die.
You will die. Now, I think it's 3 weeks for food.
Right, we live off the fat of the land.
Starting with mine. Right, around my waist. I've got about a month's worth in the next famine, just so you know.
But give them a bottle of water.
Really? Right. But the point is that without bread and without water, without food and without water, ultimately, you will die. So what a great way of talking about the life of God in and through Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, is what does he do? What does the shepherd do? Make sure the sheep has food and water.
Right.
And safety. And, you know, they rarely drive a flock of sheep at night.
No, they bring them in at night.
Because there's no way they can see where they're going.
Right.
Fall in a hole or whatever. Can't see the predators out there unless, you know, you have a light to shine and watch their eyes glow. You know, you can't. So this, again, we're talking, these are important. But Jesus, when Jesus says, I am, and he's saying, I'm God. Mm-hmm. And I'm God and I'm these things for you.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
The essentials of living.
Essentials of living. And then we're going to translate that, as we always do, into your life, listener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a believer, then these, what Jesus is saying to you, as he's saying to us, is, hey, I want to work with you. I want to work through you to be life for people. I want you to bring my life to them because I'm using you. I'm depending on you. You're my hands, my feet, my mouth, my eyes, my ears. You know, you're the ones. This is the body of Christ. You're the parts I'm sending out, and I'm the head, so I'll be in charge.
That's
but
right.
You go, because there are people dying out there spiritually,
dying
because they
thirst,
don't have the bread
hunger.
Of life.
Yeah,
they don't have the living water, and they don't have the light of Christ. They're wandering around in the darkness. If you want a good example of that, watch what's going on in Washington, D.C. any day of the week. You know, look at C-SPAN, right?
Yeah.
Because they're wandering around in the darkness.
Making human decisions.
Human decisions.
They're depending on the human wisdom. We know how wise people are, right, David?
Right. Now, we're not being partisan here.
No.
Because both sides are doing that.
Right.
And it's sad to see. It's hard to watch. But we also then, of course, you want to say, well, that's a good focal point for prayer. Because right there, if you have any need to know, where do I send my prayers? What do I look at? What do I lift up before the Lord today? Well, there's people wandering around in darkness right there. They need Jesus. Pray that Jesus will go to them, that they will be received, that they will receive him.
Amen.
You know? I mean, that's,
you know,
no lack of examples is what I'm trying to say.
When in the previous two programs, we were talking about you being the shepherds, and when I had my life in, completely involved with medicine, and then I was called, you know, I was called by God to preach the gospel, and I had a big lack of confidence.
Yeah,
can't say that I grew up reading the Bible every morning and every evening, and went to church Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. That wasn't me, so I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I kept questioning God, why would you choose someone like me? This is important stuff. And I recognize how important this is. We're talking about forever life,
yeah,
everlasting life. And I just didn't feel like I was the right man for the job because when I'm not on the air, I'm kind of a smart aleck. I don't know if you ever noticed
that. No, I've never noticed that, Barry.
Yeah, yeah. I like to make a joke. And
well, okay, that I know.
Out of the thousands of jokes, one or two of them is actually funny. But anywho, I volunteer here and there in feeding ministries, and another show I'd like to tell you why I do that, David, but I love taking care of the homeless and feeding folks, and I was sitting at a desk in a church with my wife registering people for their meals, for their week's worth of groceries, and it was packed. Unfortunately, each year there's more and more people in our county here that are physically starving to death. So what better place than to feed them in a church? And so there's a method to doing all this, and part of it is registering people, getting their names, getting their information. Mm-hmm. And that's what my wife and I were doing, and there was these two young women in the front row. I'm not a good judge of age because anybody 50 or below to me is a teenager now. But these two young ladies, they weren't mixing with anybody. They were just kind of huddled together, and when I registered them, I said, are you okay? And I said, well, not really. We're sitting in a church. And I said, and what's wrong with that? Well, we don't believe in God, and we're both terrible sinners. I said, well, the fact that you call yourself a sinner, but you don't believe in God doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But for what it's worth, you're in the right place. this is good. And I made fun of their names because they had funny names. And I asked them why they weren't volunteering, and they had this funny look. And one said, we're not worthy to do that. And I said, I'll be right back. And I went and got the special volunteer shirts that you must wear when you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, you're both in better shape than me. You look stronger than me. They need help in the back packing up the food, and we'll talk about this when you're done. And they did, and they got their food. They both got their crate. It's a 7-day crate of food. It's very heavy.
Wow.
And we sat down, and I said, I'm not here to beat you up, or I don't judge anybody. I think it's wonderful that you're here today. And but they were kind of putting up, like you said before, the shield.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And it was a fear because they didn't know what this was all about. And they kept giving a nervous look toward the cross that was hanging up on the church, like, you know, we don't know why we're here. But I said, at least volunteer every week, and we'll work you in the back door. And so they started to volunteer every week, and they really got into it. And we pray in a circle of prayer before we open the doors to receive the blessing that you receive when you're serving Christ. And I watched their eyes while we said the prayer. And then I also mentioned to some of the folks there who were new that I encourage you when you open the doors to look for the eyes of Jesus Christ coming in. And they thought I was kind of a nutcase, David, when I said that. We've seen them out the window, and we're not particularly fond of sitting in the same chair they just sat in. And, you know, they're all kind of schmutzy and need a shower. And, and so I watched these two grow. And it began with volunteering. It began with watching other Christians at work, other shepherds, if you will, taking the time once the food is put in hand to share the gospel.
Yeah.
And to just give them gently the direction to go, you know, and that direction will lead them to the cross. And these two eventually followed the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
I back off. My job was done. Now they were engaged with people their age, who were on fire for Christ.
Yeah.
And eventually they came to Christ, and they are members of that congregation now. Oh,
praise the Lord.
And when my wife and I go there, we get big old heavy Christian hugs from them. Then they thank me for not judging them. And I said, let me clue you in on something. There is no room for judgment by any Christian at all, whether they be a layman, a pastor, a preacher. That's not why we're here. We're here to serve. Yeah. And we're here to encourage. We're here to guide. That's it. I often wonder, you know, years ago when I was called, Jesus was already here up in Stuart at that church, knowing that from 12 years ago to now that I would be sitting there.
Yeah.
It's amazing because time means nothing to God.
Yes.
And so he's already been there, done that.
Absolutely.
There's that song. I think Casting Crowns sings it about he's already there on the day when, what do you call it, David? Your use-by date is done?
Your use-by date.
He calls it a used date. Yeah, I have to talk to you guys sometime alone about David, but it's funny because it's a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah.
You know, you're done. He calls you home, but he's already there.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And I just smile when I think about that because I was pretty much a hot mess back in the day, had a lot of fun. Enjoyed my career in medicine, as crazy as it got. It was an honorable profession, I think.
Yeah.
But we were medically saving people.
Right.
We were not involved with the rest of the story. And this, what happened with these two ladies, I always hold that close to my heart because that's when God got, he spoiled me. He pulled the curtain back. Hey, Barry, look what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't always get to see that. You don't always get to see the end of the story. You shepherd them to a point, and sometimes you may never see these people again in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a gracious God, and he spoils us sometimes. Come here, guys. Look what you did. I just want to show you that.
And we can give him the glory because we know.
Absolutely.
We didn't work that out.
We were just obedient.
And a vehicle through which the Holy Spirit moved. And and that's... That's a great story. I've heard a lot of your stories, by the way, but I've never until tonight heard that one.
Well, now they have food, and they have spiritual food, and they're not hungry and thirsty anymore.
You know, another teaching that comes to me from that story, and it just has been repeated again and again, and so many stories that I've heard on ministry of the people doing ministry, bringing Christ to others. And in my own experience, which again, now the Good Shepherd, what you don't hear when the Good Shepherd finds the sheep, it doesn't beat it for wandering off.
That's right.
You know, there's no judgment on the part of the shepherd. The shepherd is so happy to find the lost sheep that it's all about loving that sheep and bringing it back to the flock.
Right.
And I think the message here is that we're called to be people through whom the Good Shepherd mediates that love and compassion.
Mm.
And at no point are we called to beat on the sheep we're being sent to, you know? And, you know, we can leave God, we can leave any judging up to God, you know?
That's right.
Because God wants every sinner to be in his body. And that's our call, is to bring them in, you know? And we have to get over this business, well, I'll minister to these people, but not that people. Where does God want you to go? That's what you need to know.
You know, one of our church members, David, and I don't want to mention her name, she'll get embarrassed, but she, in her 70s, would go into the dumpsters behind her Publix and pull out drunks and clean them up and buy them a meal and invite them to church.
Wow.
Now, her family wasn't particularly enamored with that, her being a little retired lady in her 70s.
Yeah.
But you couldn't talk her out of it. And
yeah,
she is on a mission to bring as many people to Christ as she can in her lifetime. And I got to tell you, she sets the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
Because she's never met a sinner that she didn't love, that she wanted to bring to the cross. And she has no fear for herself. She was the one who found a former rock and roll star that was living in a dumpster. And that's a whole long story. But
that's a whole nother story.
He had drugged and drank his life down to a dumpster.
Wow.
Where once upon a time, he was a recording artist and had albums and
several million dollars in the bank.
Probably. But she cleaned him up and dragged him to church.
Yeah.
And we took care of him for a while.
Yeah.
Now, where is he now? I don't know. I do know that he came to the point where he was saved. I know that he also assisted in church activities.
Yep. Yeah.
And called her grandma.
Wow.
And I think he was highly insulted, though, when I found out who he was. And he said, do you know me? And I said, no, I'm old. All I know is the Beatles and the Monkees. I don't know anybody else. And he was famous in the 90s. So.
Yeah, well, I was, hey.
Yeah, I don't know them.
But, we were doing other things
in
the 90s.
Another shepherd at work.
Yeah.
There's so many needs out there. There's so many needs. And God needs his people to rise up.
Yeah.
And be brave. And take that step, that faithful step. And it changes not only their lives, but it changes yours.
You know, I had to God was loving and disabusing me of the notion that, you know, that I would, that when I did something for him, you know, that it had to be this incredible moment when, you know, like in the movies, right, where the music builds up.
Oh, boy.
You know.
How dramatic.
To a dramatic, you know, a crescendo,
yes.
You know, and then there you are, and first the light of God shines on you.
Oh, and the heavenly choir, too.
Heavenly choir, right?
And
you can see you're getting all holy and everything, and then your hands are coming up, like, and they're going out, and then the light extends, and there's a crowd of people with a hungry look in their face.
What an imagination. You know,
a great imagination, but it ain't how it works.
No. Another example. Excuse me. There was an example where I was in a restaurant with a buddy of mine. We're having lunch, and this waitress was flirting with him.
Hmm.
And she was a young, pretty girl, and he was a younger man, and it was obvious flirting going on.
Hmm.
Now, I knew for a fact that he already had a girlfriend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looked at me and he says, how do you handle this? Because she was particularly pretty, David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God blessed her with a pretty face. And so she comes to the table, and I took out my business card. And I said, do you belong to a church? And all of a sudden, the little girl came out in her, not this, you know, this woman.
Yeah.
And she said, I went to church with my mom and dad. I haven't been back ever since college, blah, blah, blah. And so I invited her for church and then asked her if she wanted prayer. And she bowed her head.
Oh.
And she, when we finished with the prayer, she walked away, and he said, "So that's how you do it." And I said, "She's also younger than my grandson."
Right,
which certainly
yeah,
helps,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But in the oddest places, again, there's an opportunity to shepherd, to pray, all of it, David, to spiritually feed the hungry and give them something to drink.
Yeah.
Now, I like your thoughts about heaven opening up and the lights and all. And I certainly hope, you know, that happens to you and I in a restaurant one day.
Before we close, yeah, I've got to tell one quick story about this because, you know, I can be, I'm trying to think of the phrase. I can be very spontaneous.
Yes, you can.
And back when I was still in a big church, you know, and going into the hospitals to visit our members, you know, that were in who are residents there. And
sure.
You know, and it happens in any elevator, but I was dressed in my clergy outfit, the collar and everything. And, you know, I look very clerical.
Yeah.
And
I've seen you dress like that.
Yeah, really? Well, I don't know about that. But so I'm in the elevator. It's quite packed. I start at the first floor. I think my patient that I was visiting was on the fifth. Mm-hmm. I was feeling kind of really fun. I was like playful that mm-hmm. day, but in a goodly way. So the elevator's full. And so I'm so kind of in the back. And so after the doors close, from I think it was second floor, I said, you know, I said, I don't know if anyone has any needs, but I'm available for prayer. I said it loud enough for everybody. Well, you get these interesting, some people didn't move.
I'm sure.
They were waiting for that door to open on the next floor.
Well, they were praying. But
some people, look back at me to see if I was serious. And then a couple of people chuckled. So elevator gets to the next floor. Several people leave. I don't know if that was their floor or not, but they were getting out. But there was a couple of people, and we started talking.
Okay.
You know, and there was one lady in particular, a nurse, I think, or a CNA, whoever it was that worked there. And just, you know, that opened her up. So she was going to the same floor I was, so we got off, and I said, you know, I was really serious. I wasn't trying to upset people. And she said, yeah, I know. She said, you made me think. She said, I have a patient that I'm working with that really is hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for them. And without giving their name, I'd like prayer for them. So we went off in a little corner there, and we prayed for this patient.
Beautiful.
God knew that. I'm even getting Holy Spirit bumps right now just thinking about it. But anyway, that's another occasion.
Yeah.
You never know how God's going to use you. But right now, if we don't say goodbye, Barry, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
So everybody be blessed, and we will talk to you next week and have a whole new series for you to follow.
Whole new series, and I'd like to say good evening to Tom, and he'll know who that is.
God bless talk you. About a brother who's a shepherd.
God
Amen.
Bless you, Tom.
God bless you, Tom. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.